morning. Thank you. Is Darcy still here? She went to the kids. Okay. Wasn't that a good job? Stand up, Darcy's mom. Give him a hand. Now, I have something to say. I come around every quarter and ask people, will you read? And people say, oh, I can't get up in front and read. Listen, if Darcy can get up there and read, and does anybody hold it against her that she made mistakes like I'm going to make? No, better not at least. Anyway, I'm proud of Darcy. She just had a birthday. How old did she turn? 12 years old. Anyway, we should be proud of Darcy. Anyway, say happy birthday to her after church, okay? It was Thursday, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. In what Darcy read was Jesus talking about him coming to give an abundant life. Now, I am not a preacher, and I am not preaching. I am a teacher at UT, and you have a job here. So everybody get out your little sheet here. Get it out. Turn it to this side, and if get your pen out or pencil. If you don't have one, raise your hand. Helen and my grandson Ian will be giving you a pencil if you need a pencil. Ian, why don't you get, oh, I guess, does anybody over here need one? Okay. You need this too. Does anybody need one of these? Glenn, where's Glenn? Would you mind going out and getting some of these and just people who need them? Raise your hand. Yeah. Ben will be coming around if you need one of these. So your job is, let's see, Jesus came to give an abundant life. First thing I want you to write down is just say abundant life. If you want to take notes, just say A-L, abundant life. And I want you to just write down some characteristics that you think. And all of these are what you think. Okay, there's no right answer. It's what you think. What do you think are some attributes or most important attributes of an abundant life? Okay, you write it down. And everybody has to do this. Okay. Now, what I do in class, because people don't do this, is I hassle them. I don't know that I'm going to do that, but I might. So there's... Ben, right there's one. Okay, so just write down what you think goes into an abundant life. Now, I'm going to say that the abundant life was the default setting. A default setting is something when you get a computer or something like that, that's the way it's set up by the manufacturer. And you can take it off default setting, but things might happen. For example, I went on a trip overseas, and there you don't have, Verizon doesn't work over there unless you pay them a lot of money. So you buy a SIM card. Anybody ever bought a SIM card here before? Yeah. Okay, you bought a SIM card, you slip it out for the country and put in the country SIM card that you had. But when I came back, my mail didn't work anymore because something got messed up. I don't know what it was, but something got messed up and the default setting was gone. And I couldn't get my mail on my mail app. What I had to do was reset it to the default. And then it worked. And that's where we're at. Our default setting was an abundant life. Next slide, please. Okay, abundant life in the Garden of Eden. What did we have? We had all the food that we could eat. It was good food. We had companionship with each other, Adam and Eve, and with God. We had a purpose. It started out naming the animals, but we had an abundant life in the beginning. That's our default setting, is an abundant life. But then came sin. Next slide, please. Okay. New default setting. That's like what happens when I put the SIM card in there. I lost my default setting, and things didn't work right anymore. Because of sin, God said to Adam, Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of food from it. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. Now, one thing, I put dot, dot, dots in here. I'm going to be putting a lot of scripture up here. And I'm going to condense it down with some dot, dot, dots. Is that okay? Cursed. The ground is cursed. Our life is cursed. We no longer have our default setting of an abundant life, but we have a default setting of a cursed life. Okay, because of what? Sin. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, consequences of sin is a cursed life. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of thoughts of human heart was only evil all the time. So we aren't evil all the time, but at least at this time there was a degradation happening, and we lost it. We lost our default setting of an abundant life. Now the default setting is a cursed life. Next slide, please. Okay, now, when you see that guy up there, see that guy? That's the thief, okay? That's the thief. But I want you to write down who you think the thief, or maybe it's thieves, were in each of these particular instances. We're going to look at different aspects of an abundant life or the opposite, a cursed life. And I want you to come up with who the thief, or maybe it's multiple thieves, that take away this part of your default abundant life, okay? So, with respect to the creation story, who do you think the thief or thieves were? So you could just say creation, and then you write down who you think the thief, or maybe it's multiple thieves, were. And again, there's no right answer, and there's probably multiple right answers. Oh, well, we're at it. April gave the sermon a while ago. I want to give a little advertisement here. April, stand up. Yeah, come on. Okay, April, you're in a taking classes now. What are the classes? Lead classes, and that's a program. There's several programs that you can go through, and it is the educational portion of becoming ordained, or whatever the right word is, consecrated, whatever the right word is in the Christian Missionary Alliance. Our church has a big fund that will pay your tuition in that. If you're an affiliate of our church, and if any of you feel like you're called into a higher level of leadership in the church, I would invite you to talk with one of the elders or Pastor Mike about going to lead, or there's Crown 30. I went through MSP, which is another one of the programs. Is it worthwhile? Yes. And then you might get to preach up here. Okay? It's fun, isn't it? Anyway, that comes from, she brought a big fan club on the day she preached. Remember that? It was all full of everybody. I have one person over here who's in my fan club. Stand up, Will. Okay. Anyway, so you had a big fan club. I have a teeny tiny fan club over there, but it's great. Okay. I'll stay out of that one. Okay, so you got that? Everybody wrote that down? Okay. Next slide, please. Okay, one of the things that takes our abundant life from us is debt and stress and anxiety due to debt. Okay, I'm going to, Forbes magazine, that's a financial publication, did a survey, and they found that 54% of U.S. adults with debt say that they are always or often feel stressed because of debt. I think everybody can relate to that. But there's a vicious cycle here. They said 72% of the respondents say that when they are very or somewhat, or that they are somewhat or very likely to accumulate more debt when experiencing stress. So let's see, you go deeper into debt. When you're stressed, you get more stressed. When you're in debt, you see the circle there, vicious circle. Let's see, Market Watch, another financial company, says 92% of their survey said that financial stress causes adverse physical effects, such as loss of sleep, headaches, etc. I think everybody can relate to that. Everybody has lost light sleep. Everybody over 30 has lost sleep here due to worrying about finances or debt or something like that. Is that an abundant life? No. Next slide, please. Okay, now I want everybody, when we get to this guy, I want everybody to read this with me because I want you to actually learn this verse, okay? So we're gonna read it together on the count of three. One, two, three. The thief comes only to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I messed up there because I learned this in a different version. I'm an old King James person. Really old. Okay, now, stress due to debt. Who, in your opinion, are the thieves or is the thief that takes away from your default of abundant life and takes this little part of that away and causes you stress? Who is that? Who's the thief? One of the thieves might be Madison Avenue or advertisements. Everybody wants you to spend more, don't they? You deserve that trip to Disneyland, don't you? Even if you have to go into debt, don't you deserve it? Wouldn't it be wise for you to take out some debt and go to school? $100,000, $200,000, wouldn't that be wise? Next slide, please. Okay, the church has changed its view on debt too. These are just two people. Who's heard of Charles Finney or Charles Spurgeon here? Okay, they're major church leaders of 150 to 200 years ago. Charles Finney was from Ohio. He was part of what was called the Second Great Awakening. Anyway, Charles Spurgeon, he was a British preacher, very famous. What did they have to say? Charles Finney said, to be in debt is sin. I wouldn't go that far, but running into debt is like thieving, is Charles Spurgeon. The church leaders of 150, 200 years ago looked on going into debt with a big frown. And those of you who are older will remember that a lot of that still retained itself until 50-ish years ago or so. Am I right, Pearl? But everybody's in debt now. Okay, for example, a 2016 survey found that the average debt for seminary students, just for funding their seminary, was $33,000. So the church is now putting out pastors who are in debt. Now that's just for their seminary education. Big change that we see. Next slide, please. Okay, what does the Bible say on debt? The borrower is slave to the lender. Now, of course, they're not a literal slave, but they're in bondage, aren't they? They're in bondage. Let no debt remain outstanding except for the continuing debt to love one another. Now, I wouldn't go so far as to say that debt is sin, but it certainly robs us of our default position of an abundant life. Would you agree with that? And I'm not trying to heap conviction. If the Holy Spirit convicts you, great. But I'm not trying to because I've been in debt too. Next slide, please. Next slide. There we go. Okay, self-control. Okay, so the Annals of Behavioral Medicine, what they say is self-control is generally defined as the capacity to override impulses and is a robust predictor of health behaviors. What does that mean? First of all, self-control is what? Capacity to override. You can overcome your impulses. Okay, can you overcome your impulses? And it's a robust predictor of health behaviors. So if you have self-control, you're going to be healthier. Let's see, Psychology Today says people who have learned how to manage their need to be satisfied in the moment thrive more in their careers, relationships, health, and finances than people who give into it. Now, that's a fairly good definition at the bottom there of an abundant life, isn't it? Prospering in their careers, relationships, health, and finances. And they're saying this is integrally tied in with self-control. Next slide, please. Okay, what does the Bible have to say about self-control? And again, here's these dot, dot, dots in there. Make every effort to supplement your faith with, and then there's a whole laundry list here, and in that laundry list is self-control. So make every effort for you to add to your faith self-control. And God has not given us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So God wants to give us a spirit of self-control. Next slide, please. Oh, back up. I'm sorry. Now, that looks like my grandson, but it isn't. Okay, next one. Go, next slide. Okay, let's read it now. One, two, three. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Okay, your job now. Who is the thief who destroys our self-control? You write it down. Who is the thief in your opinion? I'm not going to collect these. You write down what you think is the best answer or answers. There may be more than one correct answer here for you. Who is the thief that destroys our self-control? Next slide, please. Okay, resentment and bitterness. According to the PBT Institute, resentment and bitterness leads to increase in stress, weakened immune system, higher blood pressure, sleep disorders, digestive problems, muscle pain, accelerated aging. Now, all of us have experienced that. All of us have experienced those conditions from resentment or bitterness. I have. Is there anybody that hasn't experienced some of these conditions because of resentment? You have not or have? You have. Okay, have not. I'm gonna posit that everybody has, because everybody's gotten bitter at something and everybody resents something. You know, it's a human condition. That's our default condition, isn't it? To be resentful and bitter. But look at all of those things. Look at all those bad conditions. It's really robbing us of our abundant life. Next slide, please. Okay, the Bible on envy. Rid yourselves of envy. Rid yourselves of envy. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Now, how does that fit in? Well, people who tend to think great deal of themselves tend to be resentful and envious, don't they? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Why don't you say that? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Okay, so here's how we can get back a bit of that abundant life. Contentment, godliness with contentment is great gain. Next slide, please. Bible on forgiveness. Now, I want you to read these, and I want you to see, is there, besides forgiveness, is there something about forgiveness that is in each of these that's important about receiving God's forgiveness? Just somebody shout it out. What's the important thing about receiving God's forgiveness? What's that? You got to forgive to be forgiven. Yep. If you're a Christian and saying, Jesus has forgiven my sins, and you are holding bitterness towards somebody, what does Jesus twice, that's the first one is Jesus, second one is Jesus, third one is Paul, what do they say about that? You got a problem, don't you? You got a serious problem. If you're a Christian saying Jesus forgave your sins and you are holding a grudge. Now, everybody does this. Again, everybody does this, so I'm not trying to heap condemnation on you. But do you see there's a big problem, isn't there, for a Christian who holds a grudge? Next one, please. Okay, ready to read? 1, 2, 3. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Okay, who's the thief that causes us to envy? Then who's the key thief that causes us to hold grudges? Next slide, please. Okay, selfishness and generosity and kindness. Mayo Clinic benefits on generosity and kindness. It decreases depression and anxiety, heart disease, strokes, and migraines. Migraines, that's interesting. But we had headaches on a similar list up there. Next slide, please. Okay, here is, I was told to bring up a personal example, kindness. I'd like to encourage you to make a habit of being kind, particularly to people who aren't beautiful, who aren't rich, who aren't super intelligent, etc. I'll give you one example in my life that made a difference in our family's life, or at least Helen and I's life. I was walking along the trail, and there was this guy with a broken walking cane, you know, not walking cane, the white canes that blind people, what are those called? Blind people canes? What's that? Just canes, okay. But a blind person's cane. And it was broken, it was too short and that. And the guy was obviously not very rich. And I got talking with him, and he was a student from Botswana. Anybody know where Botswana is? Where's Botswana? It's southern Africa. Anyway, got talking with him and said, hey, why don't you take this money and go buy yourself a new walking cane? And he took the money, and the next time I saw him, he still had the old walking cane. And I said, hey, Lesady, how come you still have the old walking cane? But he put it behind his back, so I couldn't see that he had the old one. He used it for food or something like that. But we sort of adopted him and another guy, and they added to our family. Now, could Lesady pay us back for that kindness? No. I'd encourage you to get in the habit of being kind. Love is kind. Finding people who are least likely to be able to pay you back. And that they tend to be, have physical problems, mental problems, whatever, least likely to pay you back. And be kind to them. God loves a cheerful giver. If you're not giving, you're missing part of that abundant life. What did she say? Oh, her dad had a walking cane. Okay, yes. Okay. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, what type of giver? A begrudging giver that says, oh, I have to pay my church tax, a tithe, I really don't like doing that. No, God loves a what?
Cheerful
giver. Oh, there it is again. What's that? Godliness with? Contentment is great gain. Next slide, please. Okay, 1, 2, 3. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Okay, who's the thief that causes us to be selfish? Write it down, please. Who's the thief that causes us to be selfish? Next slide, please. Okay, we have a lack of purpose. In our default setting, we had a purpose. This is just, it's hard to see this here, but it's slowly going up. This is suicide rates in the United States, males and females there. I think the reason for this, that it's much higher with males, is males are more effective at committing suicide than females are. I don't know that this isn't attempted suicide, this is successful. And for some reason, males use tools that are more effective at committing suicide. Anyway, it's gradually going up and up and up. I would say that a good cause of that is lack of purpose. Is that a reasonable? Anyway, we have some societal problems with purpose. Next, this is from the CDC. Next slide, please. Okay, Journal of American Medical Association says a growing body of literature suggests that having a strong sense of purpose in life leads to improvements in both physical and mental health and enhances the overall quality of life. Next slide, please. Okay, what does the Bible say about purpose in life? Well, it says a lot, but one of them is, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Why are we created?
To do good works.
Okay, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. He prepared us in advance for them. He prepared us in advance for these works, these good works. Now, is the good works the same for everybody? No, you've got to figure out what they are. You've got to be open to the Mercedes walking around with their broken cane and be ready for those good works. I don't know. Okay, next one. Let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has what? Called him. Okay, what does God call? Well, usually when we talk about a calling from God, we're thinking about, oh, going into the ministry, going to Botswana or wherever. We're thinking about full-time ministry. No, this guy is called. This woman's called. This man's called. How is this guy here fulfilling God's purpose, what's sometimes called common grace? That is where God takes care of everybody. How is he doing that? He's providing us food, right? We need that for an abundant life. She's preparing it. Now, what's he doing? How is he called by God? What would life be without policemen? It would be chaos, wouldn't it? It would be chaos. All of these people have as legitimate, potentially, of a calling as a missionary or a preacher or a priest or whatever. All of them. Next slide, please. Okay, last time we're going to do this, I think. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. No, there's one more. Okay, who's the thief that causes us to neglect our God-given purpose? Okay, purpose. Who stole our purpose? Or what stole our purpose? Satan, for one, Pearl says. Next slide, please. Okay, marriage, family, and sexual fulfillment. Okay, this is from Las Vegas, a review journal. Study finds that larger families have the highest overall satisfaction. Okay, now that's really countercultural, isn't it? I was told we're supposed to have two or fewer kids. What's that? Okay, pornography consumption is consistently associated with lower marital quality. That's Sociological Forum. Want more and better sex? Get married and stay married. That isn't the way the Bible would say it, but I think that's pretty biblical right there. Next slide, please. Okay, Bible on marriage and sex. Well, this is from Malachi in Old Testament, which we have it very rarely do you see this scripture in church, but let's look at it. The Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is the companion and your wife by covenant. Did he not make them one and with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. Okay, I see several things there, but one of them is, come on. I guess this is getting, okay, companionship is part of marriage. Being one, covenant, and what's the whole purpose of this? Godly offspring. And that's a big part of abundant life. You know, it thrills me to see my son. Where's Ian? He's gone. There's Ian. He didn't want me to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Thrills me to see him up there drumming. And Ziana, stand up, Ziana. Okay, Ian is with Mike setting up a youth band. And what do you do with the youth band, Ziana? Talk to them. I know what you do. Okay, awesome. Give her a hand. Next slide, please. Okay, I think we've said this enough, but who is the thief that causes us to pervert God's design for sex and marriage? Next slide, please. Okay, tired of the thief destroying the abundant life that God intended for you? Remember, the default condition is an abundant life, but we're not there. We're not there because a thief or the thieves took it. Paul had the same problem. He said, I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. He was in a trap. He wanted to do good. He knew what was right to do, but he didn't do it. Next slide, please. Okay, God's answer, power of the Holy Spirit. God saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. It's that regeneration. Another word for getting back to the default position. We need to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Next slide, please. Okay, how can I get this renewal of the Holy Spirit? Well, number one, repent and be baptized. What does repent mean? Turn away, change. Change the way, turn around. Repent and be baptized. Okay, that's interesting. Put some together there. We say repent. I think there's two parts to this, though. There's a be baptized. And I'm not going to say you have to be baptized to be saved, but if you're not baptized and you've been a Christian a long time, there's something wrong. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. So repenting and baptized leads to what? Forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So how do you get the Holy Spirit? Repent and be baptized. Okay, then you're forgiven and you get the Holy Spirit, which is the power to get back to that default position. Okay, then you have some work to do. Number two, do not be conformed to this world. A lot of those thieves are associated with you going along with what society says, or the banks say, or the advertisements say, or whatever. Am I right? A lot of that. You have to do this. Don't be conformed to that. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. Next slide, please. Okay, this transformation to an abundant life is a lifelong incremental. What does that mean, incremental? One step at a time, one step at a time. You're not gonna walk out of here absolutely changed. When you become a new believer, you're still who you were. There's a new generation in you. You have the Holy Spirit, but you're gonna have to be transformed slowly. And let's see, 2 Corinthians 3:13 says, and we all, there's a dot, dot, dot again, all are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. Okay, up the stairs. There'll be some times when you go down, but generally it's going to be an uphill slope, going back towards that default abundant life. Next slide, please. Okay, are you going to act to stop the thief and work with God? There's two parts to that. God, through his Holy Spirit, wants to bring you back to an abundant life, but you have to do a lot of work. A lot of this is decision. Now, when I did this and said, who is the thief? There were sometimes who the thief is. Maybe it's Madison Avenue, maybe it's Satan. But most of the time, it was me. I'm the thief in my life. And I'm going to bet that for most of you, for most of these answers, that was correct. What are you going to do about that? Do you have the Holy Spirit in your life? If not, talk to me, Pastor Mike, any one of the elders. We'd love to work with you to repent and be baptized and get the Holy Spirit. If you already have the Holy Spirit in your life, are you working with him? Are you rejecting the norms of society that wants to bring you down, that wants to steal that abundant life? I want to take just a minute, and I want everybody just to pray and just ask that God would help you to work towards cooperating with him, towards regaining your default position as an abundant life. So just, this is up to you. Just go ahead and pray. Father, we just ask you that you would help us to get out of the way and not to be conformed with all the pressures in this world, that we can be kind, that we can be generous, that we can respect marriage and sex, and that we ask you that you would guide us back to our position as living an abundant life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.